Hey everybody, Ben Bailey here. Welcome to yet another terrific, I always say fantastic, I'm going to say terrific this time just to mix it up. Another terrific episode of Tall But True. I'm your host, Ben Bailey, here in my home studio at Triple B Productions with my co-host, Mr. DC Benny, once again.
Hey.
What's up, sir?
Chilling in the basement.
Chilling in the half-finished basement. Yeah. My basement is a mess, everybody. I'm in the middle of refinishing it. And it looks just like that. Like,
and in true Ben Bailey form, you're doing it yourself.
I am. Yes.
Not even a Mexican anywhere. It's all Ben Bailey.
No Mexicans. There are, if I would chose to use them, there are like 100 illegal alien men hanging by the train station here in town every day looking for work.
Yeah.
And it would be a great, inexpensive way to do stuff, but it just makes me uneasy, man. But we'll get to that. We're in the studio today with another fantastic guest, a great comedian, a friend for how many years? A long time, man.
I always say 20 years.
20 years is good.
20 years. That sounds good.
That's my go-to. Yeah,
yeah, we never have to go more or less. Let's just leave it at that.
It might be more than that.
It might actually be more than that. If you haven't recognized his voice yet, everybody, it's Todd Barry.
Yeah.
Hey, Todd Barry.
Thank you. Nice to be here in the home studio. 2 hours from my apartment.
Yeah. It didn't take you that long, did it?
No, it didn't, but you know.
Exaggerate. 20 years.
Yeah.
How is your apartment?
How's my apartment?
Is it good?
It's smaller than I want it to be.
Right.
But I realize.
Do you still have your cat lofted?
It's weird. Like when I said, when I did the lofted cat joke, I didn't actually have a cat. And now I have a cat and a girlfriend and her cat. So it's her cat is what I meant. I don't have my cat.
There's
cat.
Not two cats.
No, I know. I realized I said that in a way that sounds like there's two cats. But there's one.
One cat?
Yes.
What's a cat's name?
Sunflower.
Oh,
that was the name
man.
When she was adopted. That was so. If you think that's a ridiculous name,
yeah, I've grown
to
sound
love
like
that
a
name now.
Yeah, are you and Sunflower pretty tight at this point?
We are pretty tight. There's a picture I post multiple times on Twitter of me. It's just I'm holding her while I'm eating spaghetti, and it's just.
And there's no
just feel love.
No sunflower hair that comes over.
No, I mean there's. I wake up with sunflower hair, like little, look like a little wise man on my chin. Like,
you got a little Fu Manchu sunflower beard.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. That's wow, great. Man. So when did I see you last? What were we talking about? We're talking about Letterman, some cool experience you had on Letterman with Letterman. I never did Letterman. That's all I ever wanted to do getting into stand-up. I was such a fan, and it was like my one goal as a comedian. And
it could still happen.
Yeah, I might be able to go and hang out with him at his house.
Pet his beard.
I might get him as an Uber driver.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? He was like, he signed up as an Uber guy, Letterman. He was driving people around.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Like as a joke?
Yeah, as a joke. He was taping it.
Oh, wow. That's really funny.
But I never met him. I never got to do the show. I never got any of that.
Well, you I'm barely meet him when you do the show, so.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I mean, you meet him, but you don't have, it's not like a sit-down-y. There wasn't a lot of, like, talking.
You guys just sat there and looked at each other?
I mean, basically, if you just did a set, you met him when he walked over and said, good job, and that was it.
Wow. But. You know, didn't come and talk.
He's busy. It wasn't like a thing where I was like, why isn't he hanging out for 25 minutes before he...
Jay Leno had time.
Praising me.
Leno would come and hang out
with him. Leno does, doesn't he?
Yeah. He'll come and sit
with you. Have you done Tonight Show?
Yeah. He would come and sit with you.
He sat with
me for like a half hour.
Ugh. That's crazy.
But then after, like, I walked out, when he was leaving, he pulled around in like this amazing car. You know, he has like a million awesome cars. And he stopped and was looking over into like where... Just a sort of glass area where everyone's kind of hanging out after the show. There's a little after party.
Uh-huh.
And he's just stopped there and looking over. I was like, oh, I'm going to go check out the car. And as soon as I started walking there, I could feel that everyone was like watching me like, what the fuck is he doing? I was like, oh, fuck it. I think I already, if I burn a bridge by walking out to the car, then fuck it. I don't care. So I just went out and leaned right into the car.
And said, 400-year-old purple car, and you're not supposed to notice it or something.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah,
you know,
it's also
I felt
weird.
Like I overstepped. Right. And everyone was like, "Oh my God, don't do that!" But
and also, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't offer you a ride.
Yeah. Hey, where are you heading?
where are you heading? I'll give you a ride.
So did you ever do The Tonight Show?
I never did The Tonight Show. No, I did.
But you did Letterman.
I did Letterman and Conan, and I just did Colbert a few months ago.
Oh, nice.
Kimmel once.
How was that?
It was all right. It wasn't the best crowd.
No.
Which, you know, it's always the crowd.
I feel like he's really gone downhill since The Man Show.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just kidding.
I can't watch all the shows, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I really do either.
It looks good, though, with his beard, and he's skinny. And
Yeah, he used to be heavy, right?
Yeah.
On The Man Show?
I don't remember The Man Show.
You don't remember The Man Show?
I'm a sensitive guy. I didn't
watch it. It was a show that just had
girls with big tits
bouncing on trampolines. You don't remember that?
I remember The Man Show. I just don't remember watching
every episode and
yeah.
You remember him being on there.
Topics.
It was a fun show, The Man Show. For men.
I have a Man Show story, maybe.
Let's hear it.
It's
kind of
funny. I did a college win in South Carolina with Doug Stanhope and Christian Finnegan, and we were riding back to the hotel after the show, and there was like a sad fraternity party going on. And I just kind of said, we should crash this party. And Doug was like, stop the taxi. And this is like one of those fraternities where like this wasn't this was for the fraternity for everyone else who couldn't get into the quote unquote cool fraternities.
These are guys who were playing cards.
So we
in
just
Animal
walked
House.
Into this set. Yeah, it was like eight guys and like they had like 16 beers amongst them and some chips maybe. And all of a sudden like the host of The Man Show walks into their party. And I think once he got recognized, we just wanted a moment of like, oh, let's do this weird thing. And we did it. And then we bolted.
And then you left?
Yeah.
Wait, Stanhope hosted The Man
Show?
Yeah,
he was a co-host on The Man Show.
Oh, right? I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool, man.
I met him.
He had more beer on him than they had at the party.
Yeah, right. More beer in him, yeah.
Yeah, I'd met him. I tested to host for The Man Show.
Oh, did you really?
But it was like me, Stanhope, Dane Cook, Corey Holcomb. It was like 2,000 guys smushed in a room.
Everyone.
And then,
everyone but me.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? I don't think I auditioned. That's one thing I didn't have a failed audition for.
Right, well, I'd never seen it. I never really watched it. So I'm like, I don't know what the hell.
I thought it was all right. It was a pretty good idea for a show, and I thought it was pretty funny. Huh. It wasn't like, you know, uber highbrow.
The bouncing breasts, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, juggies, they call them.
Juggies, right.
Just a segment where it's just girls with big boobs bouncing on trampolines.
But it was no Letterman.
It's like Japanese TV is pretty much all day.
Mm.
The Man Show.
Have you been to Japan?
I have not been to Japan. No, have you?
I went there by myself like maybe close to 2 years ago. It's
that's right.
Fucking
I think
amazing.
I remember you telling me that you
for
were going.
For work or just
I just
to do
was
it.
Like, I need to go somewhere. And I'd only been on like one solo vacation in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why don't I do something bold? And I saw like an article in the New York Times that Tokyo is a good place to go if you're traveling by yourself. So
oh, that's
I said,
cool.
That's where we're going, meaning talking to myself.
That's where we're going.
Where me and
let's
me.
Let's do this.
Me and me are going to Tokyo. But
you liked it.
I loved it, man. It's crazy. It's like, did I yell too much?
Yeah, I think you're just a little close to the mic.
Okay.
You can stay where you are. I'm going to move it away from you. Just
all right. I mean, that's something that's not usually an issue for me. We're like,
I know. Todd Barry is too loud.
He's too loud.
For the first time in his life.
I'm going to be one of those comics who holds the mic like 14 feet below their chin or whatever.
And just screams.
Yeah.
As
I don't really have
one
any
of those
stories
guys
about
who puts like puts the mic right in their mouth. All right, go ahead.
I don't really have any stories about Japan. I was just...
How long did you go there for?
I thought since I flew 14 hours, why not stay a whopping 5 days?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And,
did you see those little cubbyhole things that people stay in lieu of
the
a
pods?
Hotel room? Yeah, it's
yeah,
like
it's funny because I... You know Eric Drysdale?
I know of the guy.
He I remember him posting on Facebook a while ago about his two-week trip. He went to Japan. So I wrote to him, and he's like... One thing you have to do is stay in a pod. And I looked up a YouTube video of pods, and it's like, okay, I feel like I just stayed in one watching.
Yeah.
It.
It's yeah,
just,
that's close
I lived
enough.
In New York.
Yeah, I don't actually need to to know how. I mean, there's no way I'm going to feel
what
like
you, what's,
I'm going
no, what's a pod exactly?
It's like a honeycomb. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like a honeycomb. Instead of staying in a room, you stay basically in a little cube, just have
like a coffin,
a part of the honeycomb.
Yeah. But you, there's a TV in it, and there's, but you can't stand up. You have to kind of lay
you
down,
just crawl in there, and go to sleep.
Right, and I think it's very just Japanese. Stuff a lot of people in.
How much does that cost?
I imagine it's cheaper, but economically, it was probably would have been a wise thing to do. But
that sounds weird. I would not have been up for that either.
I couldn't do it.
What's the first thing you did when you got to Japan?
There's this one thing. It's kind of hard to describe over radio. Called the robot restaurant.
What? No, what's that?
It's a thing where people will tell you this is the most touristy thing in the world, but you still have to do it. It's just this. There's like these bleachers set up in this restaurant, like in a room below this restaurant, and there's just a parade of these insane drumming characters. It's like an indoor parade, basically.
Wow.
But it's the most. It's like, oh, this is very Japanese, I think. But but it's also a thing where you're like, oh, I'm at the robot parade alone. It's like going to Disney World by yourself, you know? Just.
I went to China and
sounds,
they had a.
That sounds pretty weird, man.
But you should go to Tokyo.
But you're eating. So you're eating dinner and there's just people just in weird costumes.
Yeah, I mean,
parading
I didn't have
through.
Food. I saved that for another place. But
you don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
I went to China. There was a toilet restaurant that was like a bar restaurant, but all the seats were toilets.
No shit.
And they had, I don't know how you describe, but like singing turds. Like, you know, where they had, there were these like
the
waitstaff
little... was dressed up like turds?
It was like all, it was surrounded by these plastic turds that, you know, they're all happy. They're smiling.
My God, well, they got hilarious.
I got a good restaurant job.
You said the seats are toilets, and I said, no shit.
No, I heard that.
I didn't even mean it. I was just shocked.
Yeah. Why?
That is bizarre.
It was just
man.
An odd. There's this area, I think it was in Shanghai, and there's this, it's sort of like the Kasbah, you know, like the little backward streets and all this stuff. And there was just, it was just this kitschy thing where people flocked to this toilet restaurant, restaurant bar. I don't know how much food was there, but it was every seat was a toilet. Not just every seat, every piece of furniture was some part of a toilet.
Are these functioning toilets?
I don't know if they were functioning. I don't know.
So
if
you
they
just
were
keep
your.
It's not like you'd pull your pants down.
No,
and
you
then
just sit there
at the bar.
You're just sitting on a
what
toilet.
What good
instead
is
of a chair?
Toilet as a chair?
That'd
if
be
you
funny
can't
if the real
it.
Toilets in the place were like cushy chairs that you find. At the
There's lazy boys in the stalls in the bathroom.
Yeah, you go in the bathroom as an ice cream chair.
Did you have the food there?
I did not. I had
just
a beer.
A booze.
Yeah, I had a beer.
Boozing it up.
It was
things are very different, right? When you go into other cultures. I remember I went to Germany when I was in high school and. Nothing as weird as what you guys are describing, but I just, like, I went to McDonald's in the town that I was in, and I went and I sat at a table and I was eating, and some guy just came and sat with me.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so bizarre. Like, no one would ever do that here.
Yeah.
And this guy just came and sat down. He didn't say anything to me. He just sat directly across from me, looking straight at me, and just we just ate in silence.
I think
strangers.
That's smart. I mean, it's weird.
It makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, like sometimes you'll go to a coffee shop and there's like eight tables and eight people sitting by themselves.
Yes.
And that's it? The place is at capacity?
Yeah.
Because of eight people?
That happened to me somewhere. First of all, I love how in pretty much every city in America now, you can find a cool coffee shop.
I know. That's in my book. I mentioned that.
Oh, really? What's the book?
It's called Thank You for Coming to Hattiesburg, One Comedian's Tour of the Not the Biggest Cities in the World. It's a very overlong title.
That's a long, that's a really long title.
It's a mistake.
Is there an acronym for?
There's a lot of commas.
But yeah, you're right, though.
There's a cool coffee shop in every town, no matter how shitty. You're like, wow, this town doesn't have anything going on downtown. Yeah. Now there's like some kids who graduated college and open a fucking coffee shop.
Right, and they're good often.
And they're great.
Yeah.
But you have to look for them, and then you find it, and you're like, oh, yeah, now it's packed, right?
Yeah.
I was recently at one of those.
Where was it?
Where was I? Oklahoma City, I think.
Okay. Oh, is it like a all-white building, kind of warehousey looking?
Very warehousey, sort of removed from downtown.
Yeah, I was probably at that one. But there was a lot of seating in that
And there's an area outside?
Yes.
To sit out and back?
I think so, yeah.
And then that was the exact situation. There was like... There was maybe 10 tables inside. There was one person at each one of them and like 3 to 5 empty seats. And then the deck out and back, that it's not really a deck, but that whole area out and back was the same way.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I had a table. And I kept sort of saying, yeah, you could, you know, I felt bad when people come out and they're looking for a place to sit and nobody says shit to them. Like, no, it's full up. Fuck you. Like, there's room for like 70 more people out here. Let the guys sit down.
That's just you working on your screenplay or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, totally. I know your internet startup is really important, but yeah, I love it that there's places like that. Because 5 years ago, there weren't.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe I used to go to Starbucks everywhere.
Dude, if you're like on the road really in the middle of nowhere, Starbucks is fucking civilization.
Yeah, that's true.
An oasis.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, thank God, there's a Starbucks. So back to Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you perform on Letterman?
8 times.
Did you really? And you did 8 sets on Letterman?
Yeah, and I was bumped twice, so 8 plus 2.
That would be
and a few of those times.
Potential.
At least, I would say 3 or 4 of those times, it was either the day before that they booked me or day of.
No,
I almost did it, yeah.
So it was like you were in the door, and then they're like, if we need a comic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I remember one time I think Letterman got sick, and then there was another time where there was some accident outside. I forgot. But, yeah, I mean,
I dropped a TV on someone by accident.
Yeah.
Remember, used to throw shit off the
but
roof?
But it was 2 times that I did it where he didn't host.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, one time Sandler hosted, and one time John McEnroe hosted.
What?
Yeah.
So oh, my God,
6
hilarious.
Times actually with Letterman. But, yeah, I remember once I was at the DC Improv, and I woke up from the after-morning radio nap.
Yes.
Yes. Crucial.
Like a note slipped under the door. And it said, call Eddie Brill, who was the guy who booked Letterman at the time. I was like,
right, yeah.
Oh, shit. And then, yeah, because it's kind of maddening when they're like, you want to do Letterman right now? Like, yeah. I do, but, you
like,
know.
Yeah, but I want it to be good.
I'm eating a burrito, and I haven't taken a shower.
And I'm in Washington.
Right. And I caught a flight.
Caught a flight and did
went
it
down
that
there,
night?
Did it, and then took a train home that night. And I think that was the time where it was the only guests were me and Mel Gibson.
Wow.
And it's just so surreal because, like, you know, at 11 a.m., this wasn't even scheduled for me.
Right. And then you're sitting there. Right, did you panel or did you just did your set and that was
now, it? No, I've never paneled. There were one time they bumped me and he brought me out there.
Right.
And so they kind of like came back from commercial, like, this is Todd Barry. We didn't get a chance to get to his set. But
this is what he looks like.
Yeah. Right. And there was another time where there was a little extra time and they sat me down. But I don't even remember what I said. But you might be asking me about the time I was on when I was 18 years
old. Let's ask him about that time.
Yeah, I feel like that's the one of all your Letterman stories. I think that's the one I feel like maybe I heard that at some point.
Well, it's all on YouTube if you want to look it up. But
what's it under? Todd Barry on
Letterman? Yeah, Todd Barry, 18-year-old Todd Barry on Letterman, something like that.
Nice. And, so how did that happen?
Well,
were you doing stand-up at 18?
No.
No,
I was
okay.
A little fucking young boy.
Stupid Petricks.
This was. Do you want to watch the video, or is that something you want to do later? Or I don't know. I don't want to tell
just,
you.
Yeah, just tell us the story.
Essentially, they had viewer mail.
Oh, okay.
And this was pre-email, and so you would actually write a letter and put a stamp on it, and he would read viewer mail letters. And I wrote him, and I basically said, "Hey, Dave, I do a Paul Schaefer impression. Fly me to New York and I'll do it on the show, or B, call me and I'll do it over the phone." I mean, there was more to it than that. And it was kind of actually surprisingly funny letter I wrote to him. And then I got a phone call from a producer saying, hey, he wants to call you on the air.
Wow.
Then like very shortly before I was supposed to do it, they called me and I basically got bumped. They're like, yeah, we're not going to do
it. We're not going to get to it.
And then I remember my parents took me to like TGI Fridays to console me. And, and then like.
You were 18.
I was 18.
And where were you living?
Florida?
Yeah, South Florida.
South Florida.
Broward County.
And what were you doing at that time in your life?
I was.
College student or are you?
I was just, I guess I was just out of high school. It was May of my graduating year. So.
Oh, okay.
I forget when you even graduate high school. Is it like June or something? I was very close to either
almost
finishing
done with
high
school
or just done with high school. And then like the next week, the woman called back and she's like, we're going to do it this time. And then he called me and it's all.
Oh, my God.
And I had it like I had it on a VHS. And I was just I can be really lazy about shit. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to have to convert this to a digital file. And then I realized
10 years later, you're like, all right, maybe I'll just.
Then he retired. And I was like, I should really put this out there. And, you know, a friend of mine actually digitizes stuff. So I gave it to him. Because I couldn't find a place in New York that could do that.
Yeah, of course. Right.
So he did that, and then I posted it, and I was really glad I did. And
it's got a good response.
Yeah, and it was just like a thing where it's like, especially because I ended up appearing on his show.
Yeah, later on down the line.
So, did you talk to him about it? Like, did you ever get to mention it?
I didn't try as hard as that's a big regret of mine, is that I didn't try hard to let them know about it. But there was one time.
When I was 18,
sitting on panel with him, I tried to tell him, but people are coming up to him and giving him notes on stuff, and it's just like it's not like we're having a focused conversation during a commercial break. So I do regret that. I think everyone, when I posted it, it got picked up by a few blogs, and so I mean it got some attention.
Did it go viral?
It went viral, but I think I expected it. Not expected it. I was hoping it would be one of these million, Gangnam Style videos.
Right. That's still the biggest YouTube video of all time.
I rewatched that. Yeah. I rewatched that the other day. It is more ambitious than anything I'll ever do.
I forgot about that thing.
I only know that. I've never even seen it. I only know that as a question
amazing.
On
There's
Cash
like
Cab.
65 locations. It's just, and each one seems like they cost $2 million.
Wow.
It's pretty, it's like, all right, I'll give you that one.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, at least it's something that somebody put a lot of effort into.
But I did, I had the, so it's on YouTube, 18-year-old Todd Barry on Letterman.
And
like
so
that.
You did, so wait, so you're sitting at home with your parents, I assume.
Yeah, I imagine they were nearby.
Are you videotaping yourself at home? Or are you taped the show, you mean, when he calls you?
Oh, I guess I didn't like have a count. We didn't have a video camera, but I guess I just got a copy of it.
Got a copy.
Yeah.
And how nervous were you when fucking David Letterman is about to call
it's
you?
It's weird. I was nervous, but if you listen to the thing, the video, if you watch the video, I'm kind of a wise ass to him. And it's, I listened to it, after not hearing it many years, like, holy shit, I talked to him that way?
Oh, I can't wait.
But then
I'm
2 years later,
to watch it now.
I wrote an anniversary letter, and he read that one too, but he didn't call me.
Oh, okay.
But he did something really
But he
funny.
Knew it was you, and he refers, oh, man, we got to check it out. Yeah. Everybody, you got to check out that video. It sounds great. I would have been shitting my pants if Larry was about to call me.
I imagine
but
I was
nervous. I think I would have been a smartass, too.
Yeah. I feel like I was the way he would have been.
Yeah.
To
do what we do, we have to have a certain level of confidence in our abilities to do whatever. It just takes some balls just to get up there.
But I mean, this is years before.
But this is before,
5 years before I even attempted stand-up, so. It's kind
of
weird.
Do you think you did it have any part of you getting into stand up, this whole thing with Letterman?
No, because I didn't even consider being a stand up till I was like 23, maybe 22.
When did that happen? What caused that?
I was living down in Florida, and this was during the legendary boom of the 80s, and I used to go to open mic. They would have like the way in New York now and LA, like there's either bar open mics and, so little rooms where people end up maybe performing for the other people waiting to go on.
Yeah, yeah.
But this was during the big boom where people were really pumped about comedy. So they would often have the open mic one night of the week during the main show. So during the headliner show, they would have the first part would be the open mic night.
Oh, no shit.
So you'd play to this pumped audience. So it was like all... excited about comedy, and like the first time I went on stage it was probably like 80, 90 people in the crowd, which is
pretty good.
I mean that's like a real audience.
First time I went
that's
on
a good
stage,
barometer to be like am I gonna get bitten by this bug or
yeah
not?
It's not
maybe
like
12 people for me the first time,
but I do feel bad for it was kind of a charmed way to have an open mic, but
yeah I think having 12 people or 10 people, most of whom are waiting to go on, is more the norm, even back then.
Yeah, because the open mics, when I've popped into them here in New York, there's either, I think, people icing out the other comics, possibly because they've heard the same set the last 6 weeks in a row, Or there's that overly supportive.
What do you mean icing out?
Like they'll just like stare them down.
Kind of. Oh, right, yeah. Right.
Or the opposite, which is in the back. Which
yeah,
is
like yeah.
The, I'm supporting you laugh. But yeah. I see right through that.
Well, Florida has always had a kind of a robust, there's comedy thing going on, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's just so
there's
much,
a lot of rooms.
So big.
There's a lot of comedy rooms.
Like you could
Regan
work out there.
Hedberg's had a run there. Tom Rhodes.
Brewer. Yeah.
Can't remember who else. But yeah, there's a bunch of good comics.
Yeah.
All right. Those guys came from Florida. I forgot Rhodes was from down there.
You know who saw my apps? You know Ron Bennington?
Yeah.
He was the headliner during my first open mic, so he saw the absolute first time I ever did stand up.
Wow. I had no idea he'd been around for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks old, but. Just kidding, Ron.
I know.
He's going to be out. We're going to have him on here. We just got to figure out his schedule. He's a good guy, man.
He is a good guy.
We talked about movies when I last time I did his show. We figured out that we have movies in common.
Like, oh,
we
really?
Love movies. Yeah. And we talked about movies the entire time that I was on. It was great.
You're like an encyclopedia of scenes, man.
To some degree. Yeah. Not like I used to be, because I don't have time to watch as many movies
so
as I
So you can remember?
To.
I can't. Yeah, like I'm one of those people who's like, I saw the best movie 2 nights ago. Oh, tell me about it. I can't tell you about it.
Yeah. Like,
I
just told you
second.
Everything I know about it. It was great.
I'm like that with books, too. The ones that I read, I can never remember, to remind people.
That stuff stays with me.
Did you see? I watched a movie, a really good movie last night.
Do you remember what it was called?
Yes, I actually do. It's called Christine. It's on Netflix.
The Stephen King?
No. It's about I don't know if I want to spoiler alert it too much, but it's a pretty well-known story. It's about a woman. I guess I can spoil it. Should I spoil
it? It's not about a magic murder.
It's about a newscaster in Florida who killed herself on the air. It's a true story.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Sorry to bum out.
That sounds interesting.
It is actually really good.
It's fine. That's interesting. We just had this conversation with our last guest also. It's like, he was like, I'm sorry to bring it down. I'm like, no, it's all right. It's not, it doesn't have to always be funny.
Yeah.
It's just, conversation. A good story isn't always a funny story,
But that wasn't a good story, though. That's the problem. It was just, I saw a movie last night.
The story in the movie
is
a good
story.
Yeah,
that's actually a better story.
That you reappropriated right now.
It's like,
wow.
It's my idea to have this woman do that in real life.
Killed herself on the air.
Yeah. During the newscast.
What was this thing with Icky? Because we were doing like one-man shows and stuff around the same time.
This was a show I did, I guess, starting in like 1990 or 2000. I did a show called Icky, a one-man show.
Where'd you do it?
I always love that terminology. You should do a one-man show. I'm like, every show I do is a one-man show.
Updated, let's call it a solo show.
Yeah.
A solo.
But it was based on... back then, they had these news groups where they were like little, they were like message boards essentially, and they were on every topic. I'm sure there was like cooking and sports and all everything, and TV and movies. And they had a Conan message board, and this woman kind of was every week she posted her list. Her name was Jean, and it would be like Conan's best monologue joke, Conan's best tie. Then she would do best guest and worst guest.
Yeah.
And I got worst guest.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
I found it. And then I went back on Conan 3 months later, and I read what she wrote.
Nice.
So she's watching every episode of Conan. All of a sudden, this dude is talking about her. And then it started this whole flurry of, hatred towards me. And it was
really?
Pretty, yeah. And then I turned it into
that's weird.
Successful, but not that successful one-person show.
a one-Todd show.
Yeah.
Huh. One Icky show.
But
what is Icky? She called you Icky?
She said I had no... charm, no wit, and a personality that can only be described as icky.
Wow.
I mean, she's partially right.
Did she live across the hall from you or something?
No, she... Oh, that's the weird part is she
Sunflower.
Actually... she ended up... It's my cat.
It was the cat.
And we made up, though. I found out who she was. Somehow I found out. Her husband started a website chronicling the whole thing.
Right.
Huh. And somehow I did the show and they were coming to New York and I invited her and I brought her on stage and
shit.
Yeah, I mean, I reserved a seat for her and she was kind of exactly what I thought she would be. Uh-huh. Like very timid and very like a keyboard warrior type. Uh-huh. Like you could just see she wasn't like, "You fucking are icky, man." Like she was just very quiet and
She was like, what's happening?
Did it cease after that?
I always took the high road. It was the type of thing where sometimes you get criticized and you're like, wow, that hurts. Then sometimes you get criticized and you go, that's hilarious.
Yeah. And it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
This was like.
You get blindsided. You're like, why does this hurt so much?
If you hate me that much, it's kind of hilarious.
At least you feel strongly about it. Right. Yeah.
There's this, in my neighborhood, I moved into this old Italian neighborhood. It was like old Italian guys. And this
a lot of barber shops.
Well, it's like social clubs and whatever. Nice. And there was this one guy that we had this vendetta, this ongoing thing. He took up three parking spaces and he'd put cones in front of the cars and in front and behind of each bumper. And there's very limited parking already.
So he's parked.
So it's like four spaces. And he never moves his fucking car. And you have to. So that was the beginning of it. I remember I had said something to him about it. And there was. He kept a pipe in his tomato plants. He had these tomato plants. So he would like threaten people with the pipe. He'd go reach in a tomato plant and get the pipe out. It was this back and forth. My dog shit on his block. He came out with the pipe. He's like, have that dog shit on your block. Can't shit on my block. I'm like, it's the sidewalk. I'm going to clean it up. Then he would go inspect afterwards to make sure I got every scrap. It was like this horrific
neighbor.
Thing.
What this a guy perfect was, neighbor.
Everybody hated this fucking guy, you know? And I remember another neighbor. There was an old lady, and she goes, don't worry about that guy. He's a real piece of shit, right? This lady told me that.
That's great.
And I just moved into this neighborhood, and there was another guy who had said, you know, I talked to him, like, this guy's crazy. He's like, you know what? He just hasn't run into the right guy yet. That's what he said. So,
that's funny. Like, somebody's going to do what needs to be done to this guy at some point.
It's been like 5 years in the neighborhood, and I haven't. I guess it was. It must have been about 6 months ago. I haven't seen the guy for a while, so I see his wife. I find out the guy passed away, right? And I see the wife, and the wife was pretty cool. So I said something to her. I was like, "Hey,
I heard your asshole husband died.
I heard your husband died. I'm sorry, dear." And she goes, "You know what?" She goes, He was kind of sick for 5 years, but one of the things that kept him going is he fucking hated you. He hated you, so thank you for that. It was the strangest. It was the strangest thing that this guy, for a random reason, just hated me. You know, it kept him going.
And it kept him alive.
Yeah, kept
his
him alive
for you.
Yeah. I love that she assumes that that's why he stayed alive.
Yeah,
it could only be his hatred for his neighbor, who threatens with a pipe.
That's crazy,
isn't that? Is this, anyway?
Did you get the feeling he would be the type who actually wouldn't use the pipe if you?
Yeah, I got that feeling. He was so kind of crazy that he would threaten people constantly. It was a constant, and I think. He had a son or somebody that was in law enforcement or something, so it kind of like gave him a little cushion of what he could do.
Yeah.
But it was such an odd thing.
That's such a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it is weird.
Thank you for
being
you, so that my husband could hate you and therefore live longer.
Yeah.
Do you think he was sick and like that's part of what was up with him?
I don't know. He didn't look sick at all. He just was kind of deranged. But it's just, not to go on about it, but it's just kind of, it's odd how these people have this reaction to you that's so powerful.
Right.
And he got to have closure with it, bring this woman up.
Yeah. You're like a pioneer there. Because, because
my guy
years
dies.
Later.
Your guy sounded a little meaner than mine.
She's a timid woman, no pipe in the tomato vines. But you're like a pioneer with that because later down the road, people started reading. Once social media got to be as big as it is, people go on shows and read. It's a common thing. Here's what somebody said about me on, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I started.
Yeah.
And those are good. Those are good segments. Like, it always makes me feel better to hear that other people get that same stuff.
Do you guys read those comments on YouTube, like those horrific comments?
Once in a while.
I've got
And I'm always like, why am I doing this? Yeah. It's like I'm winding the box that has the glove, the boxing glove in it that's going to punch me in the face if I keep winding long enough. Like, why do I keep spinning this handle? Bam!
I've learned to have control because, like, I used to look at them exhaustively and like, just it would
obsess about it.
And then you're like, because then it's like, there could be 30 of them where, like, he's the funniest.
Yeah.
And that one guy who thinks he knows about comedy is ripping into you.
It starts waves.
Yeah, you're just like, what's in this for me? What is this? What's good is going to come for me? It's going to upset me.
You know what good comes of it?
It's not good.
I think, and I'm sort of similar. And I have to be honest, I'm pretty lucky. Most of my feedback is good online, if you look. But I think that makes the ones that are not even like the first ones that were negative, I was just like, oh my God, how could they say this? You know, but then after a while, you're like, you know what? You're not going to please everybody. We put ourselves out there just by doing what we do, right? And some people are, it's not going to be everybody's favorite thing. So I think if there's good, it sort of thickens your skin and makes you go, you know what? If one guy doesn't like what I do, fine, or whatever.
Right. You know? I always imagine like, you know, if you do a crowd, a show for 200 people, maybe even a good show, let's say 15 of them don't like what you did. Do you want to hear their opinions, or would you choose not to hear their opinions?
I'd be happy for them to leave
and
they, like, decide to never come and see me again.
I've walked out, you know, sort of at the end of shows, if I don't have to stand there and say bye to people. You know, like the club has some
meet and greet
policy or whatever.
Do you do meet and greet? Do meet and greet?
I don't, because the two shitty comments or the one shitty comment you might hear on top of all the you were funny, that was great, blah, blah, blah. I'd rather not hear any of it. I'd rather just...
Right.
You know.
Or the backhanded compliments.
Yeah. Your skit.
That joke worked better the other time I saw it or something.
Yeah.
Maybe it did.
Yeah. Yeah. When was
Thank
that?
You for letting me know.
Let me put that in my notes.
Yeah.
People say some weird stuff.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people they don't know what to say, but they want to say something to you.
Right. Yeah.
So then they try to think of something, but they're a little nervous, and they just come up and say something that they might genuinely mean to be something nice.
Right.
And it's just a dumb, offensive thing, and you're like, what the fuck, why did you come up? I feel like you like the show, why did you come up and offend me afterwards?
They feel compelled that since you were funny, they're gonna try and be funny, but they don't have the technique.
They're like intimidated. They think, oh, these guys want to go toe to toe. It's like, nah, if you just say you were funny, that's very nice. Or even just hello.
Or hello and thanks.
Hello, thanks, that I enjoyed that.
You ever get these guys who think they're funny? And you can tell.
Of course, yeah.
Guys who think you're funny, we can tell. As soon as you come up and say anything, you're like, oh, I see. If a guy's like, if I just killed, and then a guy is like a friend of a friend, like somebody I know, and he's like, you're pretty funny. I'm like, you're saying pretty funny because you think that you're funny?
Right.
And your ego can't handle giving me a compliment and telling me that I'm actually, you know, very funny.
My favorite thing, though.
You can see through a lot of that stuff.
Is the, I don't know if you've ever had this, the couple where the woman's laughing.
Yes.
And you could see the guy whispering to her between jokes like, I'm making her laugh in a way you never did. And why don't you just try to enjoy it as well?
Yeah, but it's hard. Some guys they can't deal with that.
Yeah, I had an agent come up. I opened for somebody at Caroline's or whatever, and then we're in the dressing room, and the agent came in, and he's like, and I had a good set, you know. And the guy goes, "My wife thinks you're hilarious," you know. And that's that offhanded. And,
it's like leaves it open.
Yeah,
you're like, and how do you feel about me?
Like, well, your wife has good taste, except for you.
I did a festival.
Yeah,
once.
I would say, where is she?
I did a festival there too? Once, and this kid came up to me. He's like, hey, I think you're hilarious, but my roommates, they don't like you. And he points to them, and they're, like, visibly mortified.
All right, so he's just like, playing a little gag? Or
no, he's just, maybe they didn't like me, but they also didn't come up to me and say, we don't
yes,
like
exactly.
you.
Yes, exactly, yeah, yeah.
It's like, sure. I like those guys better than you, and you're the one who likes me. Because yeah. they're actually keeping their dumb yeah. opinions to themselves.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
can just come up and go, I like you. You don't have to point.
You don't
out
have to say my friends
them.
Throw yeah, them so under so the bus. Sad. Yeah,
yeah. yeah I really think people often don't know what to say, and they right. they just want to say something. They're like, "I'll try to be clever. I'll try to be funny," and then they say something like that.
Right.
I'm a big fan. My friends think you suck. That's them right there.
Right.
That's a guy who's like trying to do something.
Right.
Trying to you know.
He's trying to go toe to toe or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he wants to like rope. He fancies himself a guy who can.
Right. And it's like I'm in line for a pretzel. I'm not. And roast battle nut.
Yeah, totally.
What a.
You ever get somebody come up? Once in a while, I get an older guy who comes up and he'll be like, why didn't you tell any nigger jokes?
Oh, really?
Yeah, you've gotten one of those. I'm like, where should I start with that? Oh, I didn't know you guys wanted those.
Right. Oh, my God. That's horrifying.
You've never had that happen?
I'm sure I've had like five people times. With that mentality in my crowd, but I don't know if I've had it.
I had a, you know, I mentioned my wife was black, and I have material about that or whatever, and then I'm Jewish or
value
guy,
papers.
Yeah,
a German Shepherd. Sorry.
Some guy came up and was like, "If you and your wife had a kid, where would it sit in the back of the oven?" Right, and it
oh
was
my,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, it was
Jesus.
And he thought that was hilarious, right? He thought it was hilarious, and I think it was on a cruise ship. It was my one and only cruise ship that I've done.
Oh my God!
And it was just so I was already like I couldn't, you know, that you have all these rules, you can't respond, yeah. you can't this,
but you can't throw a guy overboard,
exactly. But it was
you have to
harsh,
yeah, you have harsh. To hide his body on board somehow.
It's yeah, just amazing that he thought.
That would be funny in any way.
I think you'll still want to hear this.
Unbelievable.
Right, yeah, right.
Imagine if you had a baby. Right. Here's how I would right. kill your baby.
Let me combine yeah. genocide, racism, and killing of your baby into one.
It's just
yeah,
unreal.
It.
One great after-show comment.
From a writing perspective, it's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad.
I'm
like,
I
you took that
works.
In there.
That's
yeah.
so horribly offensive. I can't imagine. People say some crazy shit after shows, man.
Yeah, and he's like, you could use that. You could use that. That's the other
thing
to say.
You can use that
yeah.
if you want.
Yeah.
I will
and
use
now
it,
you
but
just
not
did.
In the context.
Of, thank you, buddy.
I did all these years later.
If I ever talk about assholes who I met after a show, I will use that. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, shoot.
Why don't you do more racist jokes? Why don't you stop being a racist, sir? And stop going out to comedy shows if that's what you're looking for.
Do you ever get advice from people after
oh,
a show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, once in a while. You know what you should do?
Yeah, I did a show. I opened for Louis at a theater in Austin. It was like, and it was a really good set. And it was like, and I have no problem admitting when I bomb and I
bomb. Yeah, oh yeah.
But this was like, oh, this was undeniable. And this guy, I was like selling merch or CDs or something. After he goes like, he walks up and he's like, this okay. So this is what I saw, and I'm like, oh my God, here we go. I'm in trouble. He goes, I think that. You notice the way Louis like moves around on stage? You know? he's like, I'm a comedy fan. I want to help you. And I was just like, I was just so stunned.
Yeah.
That I would like, I wish I would have had like a 15-minute warning that he was coming
that
over.
That was coming.
Because
yeah.
I would have, I kind of destroyed him, but I was just, it was very more straightforward. Like, what do you, do? I go, what do you do? He goes, I'm a geologist. He's like, you're a geologist? And you're telling me.
Yeah.
Also the idea, oh, so I should do it exactly. Is that what you want?
You,
stick
to
you should move around
style.
The way
tectonic
Louis
plates there. Yeah.
But then he...
I don't know if you've noticed the way Louis moves when he talks.
He moved on.
You're like, fuck you. Go away.
But is that a criticism a lot? Like, you more energy?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Yeah.
But he, I was going. He moved down the line. It was kind of interesting. And then this woman after him was like, "What happened there?" And I go, "I don't know." And then later when we're leaving, I see that they're together. Like, that was his wife. And they see them outside. And
oh,
I just
what
hear
weird
go,
little game are they playing?
It's like, oh, lesson learned, huh? Yeah, I hope so.
Like, you ripped the guy apart after he said
I kind of was more, I didn't rip him the way I'm capable, if I really want. I was just kind of like, why not do like you a think heckler, it's okay to talk to me that way? Yeah. Like, you don't, are you qualified to fucking?
Was he like one of these people who just doesn't realize?
I have a feeling.
He's just like socially awkward. He has no idea. He's just used to like, he spends a lot of time with rocks.
Right.
And he doesn't get it that what he's saying is offensive to you?
I have a feeling, based on the way his wife was acting, that...
It's a frequent...
Right. This is something he does, and I bet it's not the first conversation they've had about him.
Yeah.
But it's just, you're actually... That's something, like, if you guys want to talk about that on the ride home, like, I wish you would have walked around more. But,
but he actually you don't have
said,
to stop.
He actually said, I want to help you. Like, I...
It'd been great if you were like, then just keep moving, sir.
Yeah.
Well, why don't I fly back to Austin and we could do a one-on-one coaching from a geologist?
Yeah.
I had a woman come up to me and she says, do you know who you sound like? And I'm like, uh-oh. I don't know who it's going to be, right?
Right.
Could be great. Could be awful. Could be... totally inaccurate and weird, which it was. She says, you sound like Bobcat Goldthwait. Huh. I'm like, have you heard either one of us speak?
Right.
We couldn't be more different. What are you talking about? Yeah. He screams, and I, you know, it's just completely different. It's just...
It's odd the associations people make with...
So weird.
You know.
And I was like, and I said... And I had, like, made a point. I'm like, when people say shit to me like that... I'm not going to just let it roll. I'm going to say what I think. I'm going to be more assertive in those situations. So she said, you sound just like Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. And I said, no, I don't. And she goes, yeah, you do. And I said, no, no, I don't. I don't sound like him at all. I don't think you could find two comedians
right.
that sound less alike than me and Bobcat Goldthwait. And she goes, yes, you do. And she fucking left. I'm like, it's not an insult, or it just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, what?
I love that.
Yeah, what little game are you playing? It's the same kind of thing. Like, what's your purpose? So bizarre.
Huh. Yeah, I had a guy send me a Facebook message, some weirdo down in, it's like an older dude in Florida. Was like, I just discovered you. You're just a combination of Bill Murray and someone else. And it was like, it was two people who don't do stand-up. It's like,
yeah.
Well, that turned out interesting. Huh?
Who's? I really want to know
like,
the other
Carl episodes. Weathers.
It was just like
Bill Murray and Action Jackson.
Yeah.
You remind me of a guy who no one would think you remind me of, who doesn't do what you do, and
for no particular reason.
Right.
People, they it's weird.
So do
I wish I could see how other people see me.
Yeah,
just so I could understand a little more, you know,
because
it's your perception of yourself has got to be extremely skewed, obviously, by your perspective. But...
Do you guys tape your sets when you know working out?
Yeah,
regularly?
I have been lately, but I don't listen to 90% of them.
Uh-huh.
I don't really.
It's
tape.
Hard to. It's hard
really
to.
The last thing I want
to
do.
It's supposed to be really good to do that, but I have a hard time listening. To
I think
it.
It's good if some like line comes out of you that
yeah.
you weren't. Didn't know you were going to say, but
yes.
like as far as like studying a joke that you've done 50 times the same way, I don't see the point in that.
My jokes sort of evolve anyway.
Yeah.
And they get to a place where it's like, all right, I've been doing that one. It hasn't changed in a while, so I think it's cooked. You know, it's
right.
done. Huh. But if I'm the same way, like if I have a new bit come out or a new line, you know, sometimes you do a bit for a little while and then all of a sudden it just sort of like all these little locks just fall into place
exactly,
and you're like, oh my God,
right.
there it is.
Yeah.
Then I'm always like, fuck, I wish I had taped that. Or if it's at one of the clubs in town, they usually are taping it. So I'll just get it from them. You know?
Yeah. But yeah, there are times where I haven't taped and you're like, oh, I'll remember how I said that.
And then you don't.
Right. And
you
then
never
you
do,
end up
yeah.
taping and getting angry and your phone fills up with all these fucking files. Oh, the biggest problems.
Some guys tape every set that they ever do, some comics, I should say, and then they never listen to them.
Huh. Yeah, that would be me. I just said that.
Well, you said you don't listen to many of them.
Right, I don't listen to most of them, but yeah.
So, like, what do you do with them? You don't have physical tapes anymore.
No, I just put
it's
on
digital.
My phone. But what I try to do, and I'm even too lazy to do this, is, like, you walk off stage, you go, okay, I did something new in the pizza joke. Why don't I relabel that? Pizza joke, so I just listen to that. But sometimes I'll be too lazy to even rename a file. And it's like, come on, man.
Yeah, the easier shit gets, the less patience we have for it.
Yeah. Right.
It's like when you get a dishwasher after years of not having one, you're like, it's like 2 weeks and you're like, oh, I got to load the fucking dishwasher again. Like 2 weeks ago, you were dreaming about this thing. Yeah. It's true. You know, it just adjusts to what needs to be done.
Yeah, it's like, why didn't my Lyft driver come exactly to my door?
Yeah.
He's 10 feet away from my door. Actually, I do. That does make me mad, so I'm not going to even make fun of that.
You know what makes me mad is when, and this happened to me the other day, is when I request an Uber and then the guy calls me.
Yeah, they always call.
He's like, did you request an Uber? I'm like, yes. That's why you have my phone number.
Yeah.
Why are you calling me? The whole point of Uber is I don't have to call a car service.
Right.
I just push a button, just put it in, and then you come and pick me
or
up.
Or they just call and go, hey, where are you at? I'm in front of the address that I told you.
Like,
that
look
number
at
on the
phone.
Address, I'm standing below those numbers
like,
on that street that I requested.
Well, I didn't put it in. The GPS is telling you where I am. Yeah. Just drive over here and I'll get in.
Well, like that Uber that, not last time, it was 2 times ago.
Right.
Here, we call, me and Henley, we call an Uber. He shows up. He's like, I'm not going to fucking Brooklyn. And he drives off.
And he left.
We call another one. He's like, I'm not going to this city. I'm like, why'd
you don't take the ride
show
then.
Up? And then you won't, you know, we had to call. It was the third one.
That put
the
destination in when you ordered.
We put the destination.
Yeah.
It's weird.
And they
right?
take it anyway. Well, they were going to negotiate. They're like,
I just didn't
we'll
know.
Get you to Weehawken, and you can take a tram.
All right, I'll just stop.
No, I want to go home.
I'll just get a hotel wherever you drop.
Right.
Where are you going? Oh, I don't know. Where are you going?
Oh, man.
I've had it on the road. You know when you go and the clubs set up the pickup?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it's car service. And you're like, well, a guy that works at the club
that's
driving
is,
a Lincoln is not a car service.
I prefer that over an actual car service.
And that's fine.
It's
fine,
a less formal. And like, I hate when the guy's like there with a sign. And you're
You want
but
a mint?
The problem is that it's like a... You know, it's like a kid who works at the club.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really know the whole in and out of like doing a pickup at the airport. So like I would land, I can't remember where this was, like Cleveland maybe. And I said, call the driver when you land. I'm like, all right. So I get off the plane. I call the driver. He's like, where are you? I'm like, I just got off the plane. He's like, call me when you get outside.
Yeah.
I'm like, Just go there in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't want to walk all the way there and then call you again. Like, why are you making this so difficult? You're supposed to be making it easy.
Right.
I'll be there in 3.5 minutes. I'll meet you there. No, call me when you get there and then I'll come over.
Right.
People
He's
do that
McDonald's,
all the time. You're like,
yeah.
We should get together. They're like, yeah, call me. You're like, well, why don't we just figure it out now while we're actually talking?
Those days are over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's texting and calling. It's hard to get anybody on the phone anyway.
I pretty much don't answer my phone anymore.
It's terrible.
It's just all messaging, you know? If someone calls, you're like...
Nah. It's odd. You never would have thought that, like, writing a mini letter would replace actually talking.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like I go on the road, I'm lonely. I'm like, God, I wish I had friends who I could call and just shoot the shit with. It's like... Well, you do. You just
don't
just,
call them
weird.
Anymore.
It's going to look suspicious if you call them all of a sudden.
Go, everything all right?
Yeah. Did someone die? Why are you calling me? Usually send a message.
Yeah.
You've been in the same neighborhood for a while, right?
I've sort of been within the same 12-block radius for a
while. That's
what
happens. Do you find that...
Do you know everybody?
I know everyone in Lower Manhattan.
Do you find that you kind of stay in that neighborhood for your, like within a 5-10 block radius for most of your shit?
It's frustrating because, like, I remember when I lived in the suburbs, you know, we'd get the car to go eat mediocre pizza somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, then you move to New York and you kind of, I try not to do it, but sometimes you're like, oh, there's that place that's a block away as opposed to the amazing place that's 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
And he just kind of,
The food. I miss the food in Manhattan living out here.
Because you don't
get... It's not bad out here, but it's not New York.
But you have to trek to a place.
Yeah, you can't get
deliveries.
Yeah, you
got to get in the car and go. You can get a few things delivered. It's just...
It's
just not as good. The food just isn't as good, you know? And if I had never lived in Manhattan, I wouldn't know. I'd think the food out here was great. But once you, I mean, you're just spoiled. Yeah. You just get great food of any kind all day, all night. It's amazing. Let's go to New York. Let's go to your neighborhood. Let's go to that place that's two blocks away. You have a favorite place to eat in the city?
I have a few that I, you know, you go, oh, I found this new place, and then you just keep ordering the same thing.
Yeah, that's what I do.
And you're like, this time I'm going to try something new. And then you're like,
and then you don't.
I'm thinking about the thing that I always order, and I'm going to fucking, I don't. I think sometimes you can make too much expectations and like about how wide your horizons should be. Like, just like, I should go to a new restaurant every single day, never repeat anything. It's like, well, if you find a place you like.
Yeah, oh, I loved that about New York. Was
I loved the little cheap places. If you could find a really good cheap
little rice and beans joint with
no
sign.
I had rice and beans today.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
There used to be a place right over near, where was it? I think it's a little further east than where you live.
Yeah.
On Ludlow or somewhere down there. It was a rice and beans place.
Yeah.
No sign, no nothing.
Yeah. Oh, really?
But you just go in and get in line. It's $3.
Ugh.
And it just load you up rice, beans, and either chicken or pork or whatever. Oh, God, it was so good.
I love that.
It was so good, man.
I'm fucking hungry now. Man.
I'm hungry, too.
Let's get the station wagon.
Let's get an Uber.
Go to wherever's
around. I'll call and confirm, and then we'll go to the city.
Yeah, I used to talk. Judah's knows a lot of places. Like,
he does.
Exchange.
He's the one who told me about that rice and beans place. Ah. And then I ate there like a million times.
He told me about Pakistan Tea House, which is it's kind of by the World Trade Center.
Yep.
And I went by it a million times.
Worth.
And it's, oh my Worth God. Street. Oh, it was good. And there's always cabs. Whenever there's like a Pakistani or Indian place and there's cabs, buy it. I hate this. That sounds awful, but it definitely legitimizes.
It legitimizes the food, no doubt.
And it's
no
not going to be too expensive.
Yeah, it's going to be like $2.50 or $3.50 or something.
Yeah.
We used to go there, Judah and I used to go to the Pakistan Tea House.
Love that place.
I never heard of that
Three
place.
Times a week we'd go down there at the end of the night. We used to go there, or we used to go to Barakat.
Oh, the Turkish place.
The Turkish place.
Yeah, that's
Where's
not
that?
There anymore.
Is
that's
it gone?
That was on Houston around.
Yeah, it was on Houston.
Orchard.
Oh, I know that place.
Oh, it
yeah.
was so good, man.
Yeah, that place was good.
But we went to the Pakistan Tea House once, and the food was bad.
Oh, really?
Like, not like it didn't taste good. Like, it was...
Oh, like foul?
Foul.
Ooh. Huh.
And we were like, okay, that's it for that one.
I'll have to read the Yelp... I'll read the Yelp review.
The Yelp reviews. And one that just says... But so then we switched and started going to that place, Barakat, which, that was... They had good food in there, man.
There's a place... Not far from you, Vietnam Cafe. Have you been to that place?
Oh, that's on First Avenue, right?
Yeah.
I have been there, yeah.
What do you think about it?
That was a place that I used to walk by. I go, I should maybe go in there at some point. I had the pho there.
The pho, yeah, the pho.
You know what's great? The pho place near the cellar, across from the cellar.
The pho?
Pho.
P-H-O. It's Vietnamese noodle
soup. I didn't know that. I'm not familiar. What is it?
It's like a noodle soup. You can get it like a beef, chicken.
They put bean sprouts and chili peppers.
I didn't know it was pronounced pho.
Yeah.
And my brother's obsessed with that stuff.
It's really, really good.
It's really good. I mean, if it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
If it's bad.
If it's bad, then
it's not good.
This is the food episode. I'm getting
salivating. We just ate right before
I know,
this. And now I'm really hungry again from all this food talk. Do you remember when we were in Edinburgh?
Were we there together?
We were.
Was that in the first time I did it or second time I did it?
I don't know.
What year was it?
I think it was the first time you did it.
Like 2004 or 2003?
Yeah, 2004.
Oh, you've done it twice?
I've done it twice, yeah.
Wow.
I was there in 2000 and I was there in 2004.
Wow, I didn't know you did it way back.
Yeah.
How'd you end up doing it in 2000?
I can't remember.
I guess I could have done it in 2002. I just never, or 2000 also, but it's not.
Could have done it in 2002.
All the numbers
also.
Freaks are freaking out. What did you mean 2002?
2000
wow, did we,
as
did
well.
We hang out?
We didn't hang out a lot.
We should have.
Once in a while, we got together and we were like, "Wow, this sucks."
Were you there for a full month?
Yeah.
Yeah. So was I. Have you ever done that?
I haven't done it.
I had a good time, actually. I almost drank myself into the ground, honestly.
You guys said it's all about the venue, though. It's like if
it's
you
about
get
the
a
venue,
decent
venue, and it's about, there's literally, you might be competing with literally over 1,000 acts.
Oof.
Like,
Yeah, and that's just like comics, right? And, I mean, there's 2,500 really, shows.
It's
or
a
more.
Grind because it's just you kind of it's almost like starting over in some way because it's like you have to find your own accommodations and it's not like
yeah. The second like time I went, I had a sponsor.
Yeah, I mean, I had people bring me over there both times, but I never made much money or sometimes lost money still.
Mm. What that's typical.
Yeah.
People listening, that's what happens to most of the acts that go to Edinburgh.
Huh. But
I had a great time there, though.
Yeah, it's
just partied.
It's a double-edged sword there because it is kind of cool. You're like, oh, I'm in this environment that's completely consumed by what I do.
Mm.
You know, people doing what I do.
Yeah.
But I used to love going to checking out shows, though. Just people I'd never heard of or just pick someone at random.
Yep. And there's plenty of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun, man. That's one thing that I thought would be, not that I'm big on going to shows and that sort of thing, but like as a punter, as they would call the people that go to the shows, that would be great to go to. Like if you're a comedy fan, that would be such a great thing to do. It would be so fun.
I thought of going over there just as a civil,
just to hang and check it out.
Just as a non-performer.
That's always odd, though, right?
But then I know that. I'd be like, why am I fucking doing this?
You're like, what am I doing
Everyone's
here?
Doing what
I'm gonna try to get a gig.
Do, and I'm not doing it.
When I was there, I think the second time, some guys came. There was a show called The Beer Show, or The Free Beer Show.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was well attended.
I think Provenza was doing. I think it was Provenza. So these guys came to the Free Beer Show and staged the whole scene from the audience while the show was going on and interrupted the show and made this huge fucking ordeal to promote their show.
Oh, man.
Which was the next afternoon. So all the guys that were on the Free Beer Show and however many of us they could round up went to their show.
Yeah, it seems like they're asking for that.
And fucking ruined it the next day. Like, just fucking destroyed it. We didn't even let them, like, they barely were able to put on their show.
Interrupting a show would not end up in that show.
It's like a Kanye.
Yeah, they come and interrupt our show, and they're like, by the way, if you want to get us back, more or less, that's not what they said, but they might as well have said, here's our show, and here's the time and place tomorrow.
Do you remember the name of their show?
I can't remember the name of it, but we went and we took turns yelling stuff out, and then we took turns having coughing fits, and then I think we all sneezed, and then like we set it so everybody's phones started ringing like 10 or 15 seconds apart, and like we just fucking ruined their show, and then we decided we were heckle club. And like, no one's going to fuck with us. If they do, we're going to come and Heckle Club is going to ruin your show.
Oh my God.
It was pretty funny. We're like, we should make a short film or something.
I mean, it seems like there's a way they could have done that like before the beer show started or something where you'd be like, oh, that's kind of funny that they did that.
Absolutely. If they had done that, it would have been like, yeah, whatever. Because people do that.
Right.
If there's a big line waiting to get into one show,
yeah,
it wouldn't be unheard of or even offensive to go up and try to pitch your show at another time to those people before the show, but not in the middle of it, you know?
Yeah, that's rough.
And then it was funny. There was this one guy, I can't remember his name. He went out. He was like, oh, I did Heckle Club. And we're like, with who? He's like, just me. We're like, well, that's not.
It's not much of a
that's
club.
That's just heckler. You're just being a dick if you do. Like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, good point. Oops. All right, man. Judging by the silence, laugh button.
Is that the way is that the way your show ends? Where you're just like, yeah, I think we're done.
Yeah, if we get to a spot where no one says anything for 3 seconds. No, I don't know.
We did a good hour, right?
Yeah, we're even over an hour.
All right.
We told some good
stories. Squeeze some of the air out of this thing. Do you edit it?
Here's some editing.
No, not really.
Really?
Little.
Okay. Only if you said something that you were like, that, could you take that out of there? I don't want to
hear
of that.
Everything.
The whole
all that
thing?
Stuff about Barry Katz that goes out of there.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Come back. Please subscribe to Tall But True if you haven't yet and post your positive comments on iTunes for us. You can always figure out what I'm doing next by going to therealbenbailey.com, or I'm Real Ben Bailey on all social media. Come to the, what do they call it? Fat Black Pussycat.
Fat Black Pussycat. You should,
upstairs.
I mean, if you're into it. Sometime.
I'm not good at, clearly I'm not good at storytelling.
August 9th, Tall But True Live at the August Fat Black 9th. Pussycat.
Yes.
I will be in Liberty, Ohio at the Funny Bone, August 8th and 9th. I will be somewhere else after that that I can't remember. Starland Ballroom in the beginning of September. Irving, Texas, September 1st. And some other dates, but check it all out on therealbenbailey.com.
Do I get to
Todd,
plug my
where
shit?
Were they? Yes, plug your shit, absolutely. Man.
I felt like you were hitting
okay,
the stop.
Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next time.
You're about to hit the stop button. I was like, no, I came
no,
a long way.
Go
there.
Ahead. Go ahead.
ToddBerry.com, at ToddBerry on Twitter. Upcoming shows in Fairfield, Connecticut, Montreal, San Francisco, Wilmington, Delaware, Seattle. I think that's it for now.
You should get a photo of this. Just on Todd might be calling.
Trying to look at his internal calendar.
And I have a book. Thank you for coming to Hattiesburg. You can, if you go to my website, you can order it.
What's the full title?
Well, thank you for coming to Hattiesburg. One comics tour of not the biggest cities in the world. It's a tour, Doug.
It's a great title.
I guess it's an all right title. I can't tell if you're joking.
No, I like it. I really do. It sets it apart.
Okay.
And I'm Real DC Benny, and you can, you know, check out dcbenny.com, and I'll, and Real DC Benny will Instagram dates and stuff like that. So good stuff.
Cool. Come August 9th, everybody. Fat
August
Black
9th.
Pussycat. Thanks for listening to Tall But True. Subscribe and say nice things on iTunes. See you next time.